You're listening to the Girls Talk podcast, hosted by me, Adria Burr, and powered by our friends at Nike. This is where girls come together to talk, share, listen, and take control. So listen to us every week for your source of fierce chat. And don't forget to subscribe. Dear community, I wanted to record a special introduction today as we launch our new season of the Girls Talk podcast. Given the global crisis caused by COVID-19, we are releasing this in an increasingly uncertain and scary time. We hope as a community that you are all safe, healthy, and if you can, staying at home, supporting our healthcare and essential workers on the front lines, continuing to do your part to help fight this terrible pandemic. While we did debate as to whether or not to release one of the many podcasts we've already recorded pre-COVID-19, we felt it important to share with you what we had already started earlier in the year and revisit some of these conversations. Listening to these initial podcasts, it's so jarring to hear how different our lives and circumstances were. We are recording new and timely content that we hope to share with you in the coming weeks to be reflective of what is going on now. I'm so pleased to be back, as we all need support and love more than ever at the moment. During this time of self-distancing, it's important to know that we're not alone. We have each other, and we can learn how to cope together. As always, mad love. Adria.
Girls Talk.
Hi everyone, it's so good to be back. I'm massively excited about our brand new season of the Girls Talk podcast. For those of you who are just tuning in, I'm Adria Burr, founder of Girls Talk, a community-led organisation dedicated to promoting the mental health of all girls. We provide safe spaces for anyone who identifies as a girl to share, listen, and support each other without judgment or shame. At Girls Talk, no topic is off limits. No matter if you're confused about menstruation taboos, unsure about your sexuality or relationship, or your mental health, you're welcome here. Today I want to share an episode with the brilliant Clara Amfo that we recorded back in January. We've wanted to get Clara on the podcast for a while, as she's a great friend of Girls Talk, and we always have the most interesting conversations when we're together. Clara's been breaking the barriers in broadcasting and is one of those rare humans that you could just talk to forever. She couldn't be a better guest to start this new season of Girls Talk. So here it is, Clara and myself chatting about Ghana, social media and being single. Clara, welcome to the podcast.
Adjoa Aboa.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time.
Pleasure.
On a cold winter's afternoon.
Yeah, it's not the cutest day, but look, we're here. We're in a lovely, cozy studio, so I'm all right. I've got my peppermint tea.
How's your mood?
Do you know what? I've had a really victorious January, I would say, so far. I've been feeling really good.
A rare case, I think.
It's a weird one. Like, I think I had a little dip this week, but I think I could just be hormonal. Like, my PMS is so fucking rude. It's so rude. I always know when I'm about to get my period because I start getting angry with people that I had disagreements with maybe 7 or 8 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll just, it happens every month like clockwork. I'll get irrationally pissed off and be like, I should have said that. Then look at my little app that tracks my period. I'm just like,
Clue or something. Yeah,
I use Flow. Obviously,
yeah.
Others are available.
Yeah.
It's like, you got your period in 6 days. I'm like, oh, okay, that's why I don't feel.
No,
right.
I start noticing because I'm like, I am an emotional person, but I am also like, can be quite cold hearted, kind of like just level headed, just get on with it. And so when the PMS starts, I start getting teary.
Oh yeah, I get
and most things, all things, adverts.
Yeah, award show speeches. I'm like
watching things in the street. You know, congratulating someone on their engagement. You know, it all gets quite emotional. I've just been thinking. I was like, it's a tricky month. I've been finding that I'm almost like I'm faking it till I make it because I'm finding it to be quite a heavy month.
Do you know what? I see the logic in that. It's It's a weird one, isn't it? Like, I have genuinely been feeling really, really good. But I'm also very aware that anything can flip and change. And that, like, you know, on the spin of a dime. Is that the phrase? Anything can turn on the flip of a dime.
You know, you're asking the wrong person because I get every single kind of saying wrong. But I just make them up.
Well, let's make that one up. But basically anything can happen in it. And I think that's also my thought. But I'm trying not to sort of worry too much about impending doom. As cliche as it sounds, I'm very much trying to be present at the moment, but it's hard.
Yeah. But what is it that you're excited about? Is it about leaving things behind or what? Or is there something that's quite exciting about the unknown?
I feel like a
woman that gets on with it and is quite up for a challenge. So
yeah, I think it's a bit of both, to be honest. I think, you know, at the end of last year, everyone was doing their big old decade post, and I totally did the same thing. So that's not to shade anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But I genuinely enjoyed reading people's, 2009 to 2019, this is what was up, you know. And I actually found them really encouraging, and I liked people's transparency. I was as transparent as you can be on Instagram. You know, I think Instagram has almost become this sort of like second language.
Yeah.
Amongst our generation. Because look, some people can't always speak in the way they want to speak. So they'll post up a picture with a few words just to kind of get their point across, whether that's, you know, pride or shame or celebration. Like, do you know what I mean? And I genuinely liked reading people's sort of, you know, I guess, confessionals towards the end of the year. And I think in my one, I just wrote how I really had to spend, particularly the past kind of 2-3 years, unlearning a lot of negative thought that I'd had about myself and negative situations that I had allowed because I just wasn't really valuing myself. And I feel so free of that now.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been happier. And don't get me wrong, life isn't perfect, but I can't describe it. I just feel like I know myself better than ever.
Yeah, and so self-reflection.
Yeah, I learned about boundaries, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have any. I had none. And I just allowed some wild behaviour, you know, in my dating life, professional life, like friendship life, like just in loads of aspects. And that's not to say that I'm an angel or perfect person. Like, you know, we're all just trying our best. But I just allowed some bullshit. And I think freeing myself of all of that has been, I think, the best gift to myself. And I just, yeah, I feel good.
Well, I think it's something about, with everything that we do, maybe why I'm feeling quite positive is just that I'm so aware of like mistakes that I usually make and ways I like doing things in order to just keep on doing it the easy way. And now I'm like, okay, come on. It's been how many years of this shit? Like, should we try a different way?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's quite exciting about it.
Yeah, that's the power.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think there's nothing more scary, but at the same time, there's nothing as liberating as just facing your front and really having to be like, okay, look, clearly you get upset about something repeatedly.
Yeah.
So let's just have a look at this equation.
Exactly. It's like,
you keep doing this, which attracts X, Y, and Z. If you stop doing that, and it's not about, you know, lashing yourself and you know, self-hate and self-loathing. It's just about, okay, let's just be practical.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't working for ages. So let's talk about why.
Yeah.
What's the common denominator here? Who are you choosing to come into your life? Who are you not allowing into your life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you treating your body this way? Why are you doing this? Like, it's, I think, and just having that conversation, like, it's transformative.
Yeah, and, you know, those ideas you keep on coming up with, wouldn't it be good to just, like, do them?
Yeah.
Instead of just, like, thinking about them.
Let's get on with it.
Or talking about them.
Yeah.
Like, just do it.
That's it, man.
The year of return, Ghana, how was it? Did you have a nice time? I'm sad I missed you.
Mate, yeah, we were literally staying in the same hotel.
What's the saying? Ships.
Ships in the night.
Ships in the night.
Ships in the night, ships in the night, ships in the night. Do you know what? Ghana, I think, definitely added to my mood.
It was so mega.
I came back feeling brand new.
Did you make Afro Nation?
No, I didn't. Because I remember the day that I landed, I think it was the last day of it. And I thought, I was knackered and I had a bit of a cold. So I thought, let me stay in my hotel, sleep, and then I'll join in the enjoyment like fully for the next few days. But you know what? Going back home is always, I think it's just such a necessary thing for me to do now. I can't imagine not going to Ghana every year for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And like, don't get me wrong, last year wasn't the first year that I'd been, but I went when I was super, super, like, I think I was like 11.
Is that the last time you'd been?
Oh, no, 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 no. I think the first time I went to Ghana, I was about 11 or 12 years old. And then I didn't go again for about 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Similar story for me.
And now I can't imagine not going back there because, you know what? I think to be able to have a second place to truly call home is such a gift.
Yeah.
It's a privilege, actually.
It's such a privilege. And I walked around and I was like, I need to come back every year. I need to be here. I need to be part of what's going on here and keep up with the amazing characters that are creating such amazing kind of paths for themselves. And like the hype that's coming out of Ghana, the music, like I should know, you know, what's cool here.
Mm.
Like I'm from here. Like I shouldn't keep on coming back as a tourist.
Yeah.
I need to, like, you know, I've got family here. My grandma's here. My auntie's here. Like I need to get in with the kind of the whole vibe.
Well, that's the thing.
I should be lucky that I have that.
Well, this is it. And I think, you know, for a lot of people going to Ghana, it's just about reconnection, isn't it? And I think, I don't know what it is. There's a confidence and a comfort that you feel when you're there that I don't have here. And that's no shade. Like I'm proud to be British, but I'm also extremely proud to be, to be from Ghana, to be Ghanaian. And, you know, walking around at night, feeling safe, feeling cool, knowing that if I go to like a certain area that all my dad's family will be there and I'm taken care of, I can, you know, getting to see my uncle. Like I always surprise my uncle every year. I don't tell him that I'm coming. Mm. And I knock on the door and he's just like, hey, oh my God, hey, yeah. Clara. And gives me like a massive hug. And that it just warms me. Ghana just makes me feel warm. It makes me feel whole.
Yeah.
That's what it does. Mm-hmm. Ghana makes me feel whole. When I'm there, I just know who I am. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's still so much more to discover, which is why I like going back even more.
No, completely. And we did so many. My sister and I, we went to like studio visits. We like would bump into people, like, you know, just amazing people doing really cool things. And we were like, we want to get involved in this. Like, we want to meet these people. And then we go out and bump into other people. And like, it was just so fun. And I felt really proud and I felt honoured to be from Ghana.
And I think also it's really important for us as British-born Ghanaians to fly the flag to, you know, to people in the diaspora, but also people who are not from Ghana, just to kind of shift the perspective of what people are obsessed with thinking sub-Saharan Africa is, you know, a bunch of kids begging for biscuits on TV, saying, please give me £2. Because it's not entirely like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's, you know, as we know, there are people in Ghana who've got outrageous wealth. There's a thriving middle class. There's working class people. There are people who live in extreme poverty. But I don't think a lot of people realise that the community in Ghana are also trying to help those people too. Mm-hmm. So I'm really adamant that people like know there's all types of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, Afro Nation was so good. That was a proud moment.
Oh God,
they killed it. I mean, 2 days before, I mean, it was literally going on like proper African time and nothing had been built. And then literally you got there 2 days later and it was like amazing.
Yeah.
There was Burna Boy with no top on killing it and everyone else.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. The podcast.
Yeah, babe.
Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
How's it going?
It's going good. I'm waiting for you to come to my studio.
I know. Second episode today.
So yeah, the second episode is out now. It's with Nchuti Gatwa, who plays... Oh, no, sorry. Nchuti Gatwa. We have this conversation in the chat, who plays Eric on Sex Education, who is just a gorgeous man inside and out. So that episode's out, kicked off with Mo the Comedian. And yeah, there's a few more others in the mix. There's a girl band I'm not going to reveal just yet, but... they are a very beloved girl band. I have a chat with them. Louis Theroux's on it as well.
Amazing.
Sims. And yeah, no, it's a good family affair and also sort of a new friends affair. But basically, it's all about people's relationship with London. So it's called This City with Clara Amfo. And it's just exploring, you know, what the capital means to people. But I think the great thing is about it, which I'm proud of, is that it's not to say if you're not from London, you can't listen to it. It's basically just about people's life stories. London's a sort of umbrella, but I just want to know about people's, you know, journeys, bus stop and metaphorical.
No, exactly. What does this city mean to you?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah,
serious.
I'm asking you.
To me, London means... that is a really good question. Ironically, No one's actually asked me this. What does London mean?
It's a really hard
me?
Question.
It is a hard question because London is so many things. But I think for me, London, I think freedom, and I say freedom attached to going out, because I think for me, one of my biggest love affairs with the city, with the capital, was when I first started going raving and just the friends that I made, like going out.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of coming of age, it was just magical. Like, you know, and so many things have changed now, which is such a shame, sort of like when it comes to sort of going out, there aren't as many great places to go. And with the places that you can go and you know, the most exciting spaces to go aren't necessarily for me, and I wouldn't want to take up space. You know, I think we can both agree the most exciting places to go. I mean, it's always been that way, but particularly and big ups like Babes and like all the Pussy Palace crew, mm-hmm. are the queer black spaces.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
amazing. But same way, you don't want to. I don't want to go, you know, and take up space with somebody. Like if I'm invited kindly by someone, wicked, I'm there.
Yeah, but that's the only thing. I've just been invited for the first time, and I was like. That, but other than that, I don't really see what's like, it's really changed.
Yeah, I mean, don't
get me wrong. I feel in search of a space.
Yeah.
And maybe that's going back slightly to Ghana. Maybe that's what was so brilliant about it is like, you know, I talked to my dad about it and there was something, even being mixed race, it was so refreshing to like walk into a space, a bar, a club or whatever and not really stand out.
You know what?
Yeah.
That was a recurring theme in conversation, actually, with everybody that I spoke to in Ghana around Christmas. Was like, isn't it just amazing just to walk around and just see black people just being?
Yeah.
Just being.
Yeah.
You know, not being
like, I'm black, just being.
Just yeah. not being questioned. Mm-hmm. You can walk into a fancy establishment, no one's going to think you're the hired help or be like, who are you here to see? What are you doing? You're just going about your business. You know,
mm-hmm.
just seeing people live, surprise, surprise, everyday life.
Yeah.
And just being, yeah, left to live. It, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Truly amazing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad that we even have to have that conversation. But I think that is always, one of the comforting things about going home is that, yeah, you just see just black people being like just great and just living, just being quote unquote normal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but yeah, going back to raving, going out. Yeah, I think there definitely are still good places to go out. But for me,
will you take me?
Yeah, 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 for sure. Good. We'll go out one night. But yeah, for me, London, I think I just think of like freedom and like going out and just sort of like discovering places that I used to like to go. Like I used to love going to like Plastic People on Curtain Road, which is a sick club. It's turned into like some kind of like cocktail bar now. And like Benji B's nights, like Deviation, which are always like really good. And like Work It, which is like the old classic R&B night,
really, yeah.
which is like so sick. Mm. But then 079 Me is a really good night that we should go to, actually. Actually, 079 Me is a sick night. So shout out to River and to Kush who run that. But yeah, that's where we'll go.
Okay.
You're like 079 Me.
Okay, good. I'll keep
you. Old school R&B all night.
I'll keep you to that. Okay. You've had an amazing career in media and everything to do with it. What have you seen looking at that alongside you just... starting your own podcast, what does that mean to kind of have your own platform, even though you've been speaking the truth for so long and have been such a figurehead in mainstream media? What does it mean to you to now have your own platform belonging to you where you can interview who you want and talk about what you want?
It means a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I absolutely love my Radio 1 show. It's given me so much joy. Like, you know, the Live Lounge, it's iconic. It's like, you know, it's bigger than me. I think that's the great thing about Radio 1. No one is bigger than the station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's very clear. But I think the great thing is about doing my own thing is that, yeah, it's my own thing. And I think, you know, the way people consume media these days has changed so much that I think to kind of spread yourself out within reason can only be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I know there are people that listen to my podcast who will go back and listen to my radio show, and the people that listen to my radio show listen to my podcast. Like it all helps each other. But yeah, to have ownership over my own intellectual property, yes, it's a privilege, man. And I had to work hard for it. Like you know, I definitely was not born into a privileged background. I definitely was not born to parents who actively encouraged me to get into media. Like, you know, if my mum and dad had had their way, I probably would have been like a pharmacist, a lawyer, maybe an English teacher.
Wearing longer skirts.
Oh, yeah, shout out to WhatsApp, mama. I'm sure we'll get to her in a bit. No one gives a fuck about me anymore. Everyone's just obsessed with my mum.
I'm
you know
obsessed
what?
With her.
That's okay. That's okay. I should have brought her along today. But yeah, it feels really good. And I think, you know, I'm just reflecting what's going on like in the industry. Like, I think it's important for people to have ownership of their voices, like literally,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to use them in ways that they want, that only enhance what else, the other things that they're doing, you know? And yeah, and I'm excited just because also, you know, my show is a music show. So, you know, somebody like Mo the Comedian, I wouldn't typically have on my show.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless he's got a secret guitar skill that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
So getting to chat to him and just to catch jokes was just like really, really fun. But then with the music guests I have had on, it's just been nice to have a different kind of conversation outside of, okay, you're just about to perform on my radio show. Like, here we go. You know, with Sims, I learned loads about, you know, her family life and her upbringing and like how amazing her mum is and like her favourite like school teachers and stuff like that. But then I got to speak to Louis Theroux about like documentary making and how he cycles around and gets about. Like, do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
These are conversations I couldn't have usually within the format of what I do for the BBC. So to have this, it feels really powerful. It feels really good, man. Oh,
congratulations.
Thanks, babe.
And in regards to presenting, what's been so great to watch as an outsider is the way you're associating with yourself with booming cultural things that are popping up out of England right now, whether it be Top Boy or we spoke about Queen and Slim, things that it feels to me that really obviously kind of resonate with you, you're getting behind.
Mm.
Is that something you've always wanted to do, or do you feel like you have a more, right now there's been more opportunities for you to actually get behind things that you really care about?
I think it's a bit of both. Like, industry is a weird one, because I think when you do a public-facing job, depending on how you enter into the industry, you almost have to fight for a right to say what you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though, as humans, in theory, we should be able to say whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah.
But as you know, working in like in fashion and like, you know, as you're expanding like your brands in this podcast, like your philanthropy, you've got to choose your battles wisely.
100%.
And
I use my sister as a sounding board. I go, "Shall I post this?" She went, "Nah, let's leave this one."
Yeah.
No, okay.
Was she there before the Kim K post?
No, no one was.
No, but you know what?
I was in a really bad mood that day.
No, but I
was surrounded by people, but I refused to tell them what I was about to do before.
No, but I can't say. Well, look, at that time, I can't say I disagreed with what you posted. So yeah, my support. But yeah, you have to almost earn the right to say what you want, which is a really weird concept.
Yeah.
Because, do you know, it's funny enough, actually, the other day, some girl took the time to go on my Twitter, screenshot one of my tweets, and then added me in it on her stories and was like, "Oh, Clara Antfo's getting above her station again with the with the sleepy face emoji." And I just thought, and I rolled. Do you know what? I'll tell you what I'd said. So obviously we learned sadly about the passing of Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And I'd made a comment, which I probably should have given a bit more context to. So I can understand why she kind of like hopped at me a little bit, but also think she was just a pre-existing hater anyway.
She was waiting.
She was just waiting to cast something.
Yeah.
So like she's irrelevant in that situation. But for this conversation, I had made a comment about when somebody well-known dies, I have found that there are people who will go straight to social media and will find any picture that they took with that person to write a self-serving post about that person just to get their likes and to be like, "Look at me." And there's nuance to everything. I'm not, do you get what I mean?
But I think this goes back to what you were talking about with this language that has been formed through social media. 100%, there's major context behind what you're saying and it completely makes sense and I completely agree.
Yeah. So
it's a weird world that we're living in.
It's very, very weird. And I personally think it's a bit crass when somebody has died to find a picture of them and share it in a way that essentially is all about you. And I think I'd seen somebody post something up about Kobe and all I could just see in it was just me, 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 me. And so in that moment, I was just like, "Oh, that's so annoying." Now, listen, obviously, if it was like one of his teammates or people that knew him personally, of course, like, have at it. And that's, And look, that's not to say that people need my permission to express how they grieve. But like I said, there's nuance and context to everything. Like LeBron speaking about Kobe, posting up pictures with him, of course. But you just meeting him once and just letting everybody know that you met him just to get your likes, I'm not with it. And that was what I was trying to say. It's like, guys, your ego can wait for like one day. And so, and because I shared that sentiment, and a lot of people agree with me, but I shared that sentiment. This girl screenshot my tweet, pinned her stories at me with it. I rolled and laughed and thought, okay, cool. Like whatever, you had an issue before and that's on you and X, Y, and Z. But it brings it back to that point where you can't always say what you want.
No.
I mean, I had the right to tweet that and I did it. But the fact that she said, you're getting above your station. And I thought, okay, so where do you want me to be? Mm-hmm. And is my station not as valid as yours? I'm a human being. So are you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that brings about that whole thing of like, yeah.
Whose opinion does matter to you?
Well, yeah, that's it.
It would be interesting to know who that person is.
I mean, there's lots of people's opinion matter to me.
No, but I mean to that person. Oh, like whose yes. opinion
well, no, that,
matters more, you know.
Well, that's it, because and I replied back.
Where's this line? Where's this level?
Well, this is it. And I replied back to their, I replied back to their acts. I thought, well, if you've got the bravery to like at me, then you want a reaction, so here it is, hun. And she never replied, and I thought typical because they never do. And then her partner added me as well, and I replied to him. Then I think he got shook and deleted it. And I
no,
thought,
it's funny when you reply because yeah. Keswa had one, and she put up a picture of herself that she should be proud of, an amazing photo that she'd done for Mexican Vogue, and someone was like trolling her, being like, "Oh, did your mum pay for that? Or did you know something just going on?" Mm. Writing like. She actually thought it was quite funny. She was like, oh, I've got my first troll, blah, blah, blah. But then she was like, they kept on writing things on her post, and she was just DM'd them being like, have we got a problem? Well, and obviously they didn't reply. Then they were shook and they didn't say anything.
And the thing is, you know what? This girl who did that, she's probably like a safe person.
Mm.
And I got why her bloke got involved, because he just wanted to defend his women or whatever. But it's just that when it's that visceral thing, isn't it, of why people troll. And why people feel the need they can go out and call you out of your name. It reflects on them. I'm just like, okay, it's such a fascinating psychology. And I really paid attention to how people are just doing this job. And I've made friends with most of my trolls, actually.
Mm.
No, because I'm like, okay, look, you got a problem. Let's get into it. We'll take it to the DMs. And 9 times out of 10, it's squashed. And in fact, you know what? The most amazing thing happened. Well, it depends. You might not think it's that amazing. But this girl cussed me on Twitter maybe about 2 years ago. And I replied back like, yo, what's the problem? Whatever. And then she was a bit ratty back. And I just thought, oh, I can't be arsed. I stopped replying. And then about 2 months ago, she sent me the most beautiful message just saying, look, Clara, I sent this to you 2 years ago. I was going through a really bad time in my life. I wasn't feeling very happy. And I took it out, you know, I'm really sorry. And I was like, you know what? Respect.
Yeah.
That's the power.
No, I think that is amazing.
And that's the beauty of human nature. You know, again, going back to our conversation, facing yourself,
mm-hmm.
being like, okay, what was I going through that I felt the need to hit out at somebody in that way? And you got to respect it. So I think when it comes to sort of, you know, talking about things publicly, you've got to choose your battles wisely, because there are going to be some people who are just committed to misunderstanding you no matter what you say.
Yeah.
There's going to be some people that back what you say,
mm-hmm.
and there's going to be some people who can respectfully disagree. And I think I've just come to accept that. And not take anything too personally.
Yeah. No, 100%. The cultural rules and regulations and language that is coming out of social media right now, I do find highly confusing and quite questionable.
Well, the rules change every day.
Yeah. And I feel like more and more I don't really understand it. I find who I relate to all the time, which is good. And then more and more I realise there's a massive part of it that I'm just I don't get. I don't know. And it's a weird one, because I think you're completely right. It kind of acts as this device where it kind of tells us that we can kind of talk about what we want and share what we want, but really, not really.
Yeah.
In there are still rules.
Yeah, I think all forms of social media can just be useless echo chambers.
And yeah,
stuff. But at the same time, they can be really, really powerful.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'll tell you what, I think one of my triumphs, I guess, with online life, which has been such a blessing, has just been finding a real sense of community amongst other Black women.
Yeah.
That for me has been one of the most powerful positive things of being online, just finding like-minded women who I respect,
yeah,
who have the same references as me for silly little things, whether it's, you know, like a sitcom that we used to watch when we were kids, to like, you know, just their political thoughts to whatever. And finding that sense of community, I think, has been one of the most valuable things about sort of online life. And then everything else, look, everyone's a bit of a mess and everyone's just still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
There's rules that apply to
Well, that's the thing about social media. It's still so fresh and so new. So we're bound to make many mistakes, and none of us really know yet how to kind of properly navigate through it. But what's beautiful about social media is I've become like maybe a cheerleader. I think I'm so like, I hate all the negativity that's on it. So I just decided that I'll be a cheerleader for everyone. Anytime anyone does anything nice or posts anything nice that they've like taken the time and the confidence to post, I think deserves a round of applause.
Yeah.
So I just decided I'll just be a cheerleader.
Yeah, that's the way, man. That's the way. I will give you hand clap emojis.
Yeah, I think so.
I will give you a loving yellow heart.
Yeah, exactly.
a little thumbs
slip
up.
Slip into anyone's DMs. Do that. I don't know if I'm into it. Talk about being single. Slipping, moving on.
Straight to it.
Okay, single life. Sliding into one's DMs. Is that a thing? Is that something we should be doing?
I'm so indifferent.
I don't know. A lot of men do it.
Do you know what? Most of the DMs I get are from like really quite creepy people and it's just an instant block.
Me too. I don't get any really like, none that tickle my ego, let me tell you. Lots of ones from the Girls Talk community, but it would be highly inappropriate for me to start a relationship with someone that, you know, sliding into my DMs to talk about emotional things.
Yeah. Boundaries.
But the other side, I'm like, you know, someone was like, has anyone slid into your DM? I was like, no, not anyone. Some of it's a bit creepy.
I suspect that you probably get DM slides that are under the guise of like friendship, but they're probably people that secretly want to date you.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I'm worried now that men are intimidated by me.
Oh, listen, story of my fucking life.
Someone told me that the other day.
Story of my fucking life. And I'm so bored of it. I'm just like, because I'm out and about.
What do we do about it?
No.
I had a really good chat with, for context, Asantua, my cousin, is also a good friend. Big ups, Asantua, if you're listening.
Love Asantua.
Is also a good friend of Clara's. And after the Queen and Slim preview that you did with Reggie, we went home, we had a mega conversation about being single ladies and what we're going to do about it, how we're going to navigate through it. And we were kind of came to the conclusion that it's fucking difficult out there. And actually, no one has ever asked me on a date.
Stepped to
ever,
you properly.
Ever.
So with previous partners, how has it got to...
I always make the moves.
Okay.
I always make the moves.
Okay.
But I was talking to a friend about that. And I was just like, he was like, I think maybe men are intimidated by you, and I don't really know what to do about that.
Chestnut.
But maybe men would highly disagree with me. But if you do,
slide into your DMs.
Slide into my DMs.
Oh, do you know what? I understand now. I used to really roll my eyes when my male and female friends would say it to me, maybe he's just intimidated by you. I'd be like, what the fuck do you mean? I'm just me, man. Like, when I wake up in the morning, I just see me.
Yeah.
But I am understanding how somebody might perceive me who doesn't know me in a dating context and think, oh, fuck, I can't go near her. But it's a weird one. I think when I think about my dating history and the type of men that I have attracted, and again, this goes back to me just having clarity, because I'm telling you what, yeah, for the first time in, oh my gosh, let me say five years, not having my time wasted by anyone's son or anyone's son telling me lies, whatever. And I think that's been a lot of the key to my mental clarity,
mm-hmm.
just not wasting time on aging fuckboys.
Yeah.
Because they love me.
Do they?
Oh my God, the fuckboy midlife crisis. It's like flies around shit. Honestly, that's been my dating life, particularly the last 5 years, but I just like, no. And, but now when I look back, yeah, with a couple of them, Oh, do you know what, one thing I've learned about some men, and I can only speak of my own experience, and from what I've seen with friends of mine, especially successful women, is that a lot of men love the idea of you when you're successful, and they love when you're doing great, but they don't like it when you're doing better than them. And I think I've attracted men who need to be with a woman that they feel better than, whether if she's like years younger than them, or making less money than them, or doing something that has less high social status as them. They need to feel bigger than. These are the insecure men, obviously. And don't get wrong, everyone's got insecurities, but I think there's a particular type of man that I think is attracted to successful women, and they're like vampires. They're like vibes vampires.
Yeah.
They love to get everything they can get from you. They love to entertain you for their ego. When it really comes down to really sticking it out with you, I think a lot of them can't, because I think their egos can't handle it, and they need to feel like the alpha in the relationship. And I've definitely experienced that, where I've been seeing people casually, dating people seriously, like, yeah, they definitely need to be women that they feel bigger and better than.
And have you
that ain't me, honey.
No, exactly. And have you found this with friends of yours, single friends of yours,
oh, yeah.
successful single
friends? I know so many
alpha female friends of yours.
Truly incredible women who are without partners and who want to be with partners. And I want to put a pin in that thought as well, because I do think there is overemphasis on women feeling complete once they're with somebody. And there's an important, you know, that whole you're nobody till somebody loves you, and like, you know, why are you single? And it's like as if it's some sort of social disability to be single, you know, it's almost to say, well, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I don't understand why you're single. It's like, well, maybe I chose it.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm actively choosing to be on my own at the moment, and I think that's why. I'm so,
oh really?
That's why I feel so happy.
No,
like yeah, I think
it's good for me. I'm actively choosing to be, I just want to do things differently.
Yeah.
That's no shade on previous partners that I have had. It's just, I just need to start doing things differently.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing, recognising those patterns, isn't it?
I need to, like, celebrate my, like, independence and not be kind of, and be aware that obviously there is a part of me, and that's nothing, I should cherish that part and kind of think about it more. There is obviously something that, sometimes I'm looking for someone to make me feel better. Sometimes.
But that's a human condition.
Exactly.
It's a human condition. I think it's about that finding that balance though, isn't it? Because I think, especially as women, we are so programmed to be...
I have constant battles with those two. But all the time.
We're programmed to be obsessed with finding companionship and to almost be rescued and all of that. And I think for so long, I definitely had that mentality of like, oh, wow, am I not normal if I'm not
like, should I settle?
Yeah, if I'm not in a situation with somebody, like, wow, should I be going on loads of dates every single week? And I'm actively, for the first time in about, I'd say particularly the first time, about 5 years, I'm just like, you know what? I'm so sweet on my own.
Yeah.
And I truly, truly mean that. And now my friend's like, well, now, Clara, you see, someone's going to come now. You're not falling in love with them. I'm like, no, stay away from me.
No, I'm sure it will happen though,
but,
Clara.
I'm just enjoying my own sauce right now.
No, I think it's the way to go.
Enjoy your own sauce, man.
And enjoy it, and who knows what happens.
Romance is a lovely thing, and I'm a romantic person. I think
that's the thing. It's like, I don't know about you, but the thing that I think I'm dealing with now is I worry... Because I'm so ambitious and because I want to do so much, I go, okay, who can handle this? Who can handle the fact that I'm just going to keep on going?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much shit that I want to do. Who can... Okay, you can handle it. You can't really handle it, but I'll go with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realise further down the line that you actually really can't handle it. That's what I'm going... Where can I find the anchor in this chaos?
But guess what?
But actually...
It's in you, huh?
Yeah.
You knew I was going to say it.
Cheesy, no, though. But are the anchor.
It's so trite and it's so cheesy, but it's true. Yeah. Like it's the thing that I've learned. So that is completely where I'm at right now. It's like, you just don't go. Romance is lovely. Companionship is a beautiful thing. Partnership is to be cherished. And I know so many people in functioning, healthy relationships, but I'm aware of people who are in codependent situations because they are too afraid to be by themselves.
Yep.
And I think that's where a lot of fuckboys and fuck people are born out of that.
Yeah.
Because they can't be alone.
No.
The most braggadocious players, you know, the undercover ones. They cannot be alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much to discuss.
Girls listen.
Usually have girls share, but not today. So next we have girls listen. I always ask my guests to share a tool of strength. It could be a quote, a mantra, any advice that you've received.
Of course, there's quite a few, but I can only have one, right?
Well, you can have a few.
It's been quite overused, but again, I truly understand the power of it now. But it's something along the lines about being kind to yourself. But you know what?
That was what I brought forward.
Yeah, I think I let other people control how I valued myself when I should have just been looking at myself in the mirror, man. Dun, dun, dun. And that's nothing to do with my job, because you know what? I think there's a lot of people in our industry who think being famous is going to mend their broken heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not, hun. And I've never used, I think, any sense of celebrity to try and convince myself that I'm worthy, because I always knew that wasn't real. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So I think the kind of, God, all the cliches, fuck!
No, we love cliches.
But the journey, but on a serious level, I think the sort of the journey path conversations, whatever, that I've had with people and myself has been really understanding my values. I think, you know what? You know, we all start this life as these pure, unaffected creatures, and then shit happens that can, you know, changes your perception of things forever. And I think, you know, whether that's getting over childhood traumas, teen traumas, whatever, you know, they affect the chemicals in your brain. I think they really do. They affect, mm-hmm. they affect how you treat yourself. And for years, I just treated myself like shit.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, the last, particularly, Joe, my birthday of last year was around that time, May of 2019.
Yeah, because we're both Tauruses, aren't we?
I'm a Gemini.
You're a Gemini.
I'm May 22nd.
Okay, so May 18th.
Yeah, yeah, so we're a few days apart. Oh, yeah, because I remember you couldn't make my birthday party.
Yeah,
because it was on your birthday party.
Yeah, I didn't even have a birthday party because I was having a shit month that month. I was not feeling
you were just laying
my
low.
Birthday. Yeah, I was.
But that's the thing, birthdays can bring that out of you, can't they?
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of time for self-reflection. But I think around my birthday, I think I was going through something, and I remember I took back my power in that situation, and I ended a situation, and I felt fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
And that was day one of me being like, nah, you know what? It's a fucking new day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to be kind to myself and give myself the care and respect that I deserve. And I think I've just kind of been on that sort of trajectory since. And I think that's why that kind of new thought going to Ghana, that's what has put me in this good state, I think.
Yeah.
This year. So I think it's about being kind to yourself. And as Maya Angelou once wrote, I think when you know better, you do better. I love that phrase.
Yeah.
That quote, even, I always go back to that.
No, it's so true.
When you know better, you do better, which isn't always necessarily true.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we know better, we don't necessarily
do
exactly.
better. No, exactly. We just ignore.
We ignore it.
Yeah.
But I think you can't ignore your own good advice. You can only ignore your own good advice for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to start putting it in practice, because it's always the way, you know, we're great at telling our friends how to fix their problems and our friends fix them. We're like, great, well done, that's amazing for you. But turning on yourself, it's always the most difficult. So,
100%.
Yeah,
be kind to yourself.
That's it. And
we
knowing
love that.
Better and
doing it is.
Better.
It might be a cliche, but it's so important, because we've got to also be kind to ourselves in regard to the fact that, yes, just things, I think, however much therapy we do, how many, you know, whatever things we do to help meditate, exercise, what there are things that stick to you, and you have to massage them and be kind to them, because you know what? Some days I wake up and I see something and it triggers a feeling that I felt when I was like 15. You know, it just happens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I suppose that's just life.
It is.
But I'm kind to myself about it instead of being like, get over it.
Look, this is the thing, man. Life is flipping unpredictable.
Yeah.
And I think, and the only thing, you can't control what's going to happen. The only thing you can control is how you react to what happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's something I'm definitely trying to put into practice this year.
Mm-hmm.
How I react to things. Because I think that's all I have to say. That's the only thing.
And not taking things so personally, I think, you know, you always forget, I think, in all these, you know, what you said about when you're PMSing and like kind of bringing up, it makes you think about like arguments you've had in the past or whatever. but also just like I've been feeling like you never know what place, and also actually more kind of apt is the person, the troll. We never know what kind of state someone's going to be in,
mm-hmm.
what they're going through, what's happening in their life. And I think I can be quite quick to be like, why aren't they, you know, there for me? Or I don't know.
Oh, we all do.
And forget that actually, you know what, they're dealing with life as well.
Well, that's our ego, you know, going, but what about me? Yeah. And even, you know, I don't know, so you might email somebody and they may not email you back and just like, for fuck's sake, like, I should be a priority. Yeah. Why aren't emailing me? And for all you know, they could be going for a family bereavement. They could just be having a shit day, not wanting to get out of bed. Like, and I think, yeah, going back to that conversation about, you know, trolls or people that we just know and that we love in our day-to-day life, everyone is going through some shit. And it's no shit show. Like, it's not like this is a new profound thought, but it's a thought that we need to remember.
100%.
Yeah.
Girls, take action.
Last but not least, we have Girls Take Action. Have you got anything you'd like to leave our listeners with?
To anybody listening, I would say whatever you're going through, the healing will start with you.
Yeah.
And it will always come back to you. And that is not to say that you shouldn't seek community and you shouldn't seek refuge in your friends and your family and your colleagues, whoever it is that you value in your life. But whatever you're going through, it really always does come back to you, and those awkward conversations that you've been putting off of yourself, and you know,
mm-hmm.
those traits in your personality which you've been trained to sort of dislike, that you just need to just come to a place of acceptance with. Like, you know, you can have the most amazing partner in the world, you can have the most supportive family in the world, the best of friends, but if you're not feeling it, and if you're not willing to face yourself, nothing anybody can do or say will heal the part of you that needs fixing. So that's what I would say. Just, it always comes back to you. And when you get there, you will feel fantastic. And don't get me wrong, you're never going to be 100%. I don't think anybody is. But to get to that place of contentment, it's definitely there. It's definitely there for you. But it's there already. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's really there already. Trust me.
It is. I really believe, for me, that self-reflection is where I just get all my shit done. I just come up, I sound it out, and it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting because I always think I've gotten it sorted that bit out, but I'm like, ooh, it's popped up again.
Well, that's
but
the
it's
thing.
Where I, but it's mega though, because I'm like, oh, okay. I love that I'm still learning stuff about myself.
We never stop.
Yeah.
We never stop. And listen, I'm having this conversation with you now, but I could be on the floor in tears and not wanting to get out of bed, like, for the whole of, like, you know, the coming month.
Mm-hmm.
That is the actuality of life.
Yeah.
But in this moment, whilst I'm feeling good, I'm trying to be like, guys, come on, take this in. But seriously, man, like, yeah, don't expect other people to fill your cup. Fill your own cup.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mega. Thanks, Clara.
Didn't even have to quote one of my mum's Bible passages.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I could find one. I mean, look, I'm not particularly a religious person, but Gracie does love to...
What would one be that went? Let's leave it with that. What would one be?
Shout out to WhatsApp Mama.
Yeah.
Okay. What's
that would go with fill your own cup?
Let's see. I'm literally... Because honestly, she sends me them every day, so I'm just trying to find like a really good one. Okay. I mean, the last one she sent me was a picture of a bird just saying, good morning. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Yeah. No, I...
And there we go.
What kind of bird?
Oh, hang on. Oh, this is good. Thursday's blessings. We'll just call it blessings because I don't know what day this is going to come out. Okay, so this is something from my mum. How great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. Thanks, Mum. There we go.
Oh, thanks, Clara.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to... come on my podcast.
Thanks, mate. I can't wait for you to come on mine.
First, I mean, an amazing, positive, booming energy to start this new season of Girls Talk. I couldn't have chosen a better person and very grateful. Thank you.
Love you long time.
Love you long time. I hope you all enjoyed this as much as I did. I'm really happy to be back. Tell your mates, tell your family. We're back bigger and better. And as always, mad, mad, mad amounts of love. We may have stopped talking, but that doesn't mean you have to. Talk to us on our Instagram at Girls Talk, or send us your poetry, essays, stories, artwork, or anything else you want to share at girlstalk.com. Mad love to Nike for helping us to create such great chat and even better actions for our girls. We are always here and we're always listening. I'm Adjoa Boa. This was the Girls Talk podcast, and you are amazing.